We're in Daniel chapter 2 tonight. I've been reading in the book of Daniel in my own personal devotions, making my way through the Old Testament. And reading chapter 2, it's just a stunning thing to imagine, but it was actually so, that the king made a decree that all of the wise men that served in the king's cabinet were to be executed. Many of them had no interaction with the king, just a handful of magicians, as they're called, or magi, or wise men, had an interaction with the king, wherein he had a dream, and he couldn't remember what the dream was. And so he told the magi, he said, I need you to conjure up my dream that I had, and I want you to tell me the meaning of it. And they, of course, reply, says, this is not possible, O king. It would be up to the gods to be able to reveal that. And so word trickled down among the magi and came down to Daniel. And Daniel says, why is the king so hasty in making such a decree? Because included in that list was Daniel and three other Hebrew children. And there may have been more that are not named, but all of them were on death row list. The decree had already gone out. Now, this is not the decree of the Medes and Persians, because Babylon at that particular time was under Babylonian thing, so the decrees could be rescinded. But Daniel doesn't panic. He goes to these three Hebrew children, and their Hebrew names are used here in this passage of Scripture, beginning at verse 17. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. By the way, every one of their names has the name of God in them. Dan, Yael, El, Elohim. All right. You have Hananiah, Yah, Yahweh. You have Mishael, again, the name of God used in his name, and then Azariah. So two of them with Yah, Yahweh, and two of them with Elohim. They were given biblical names. And he goes to them, and he says in verse 18, that they should desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you'd open our hearts to the Word of God and this story that's included in the writ of Scripture that tells us about some of the dire situations that your saints have been in the past. I don't think any of us have had an experience today that's even close to what these men went through. And yet sometimes we're overwhelmed by things that in reality are not to this level. And we don't handle them very well because we immediately go into griping, complaining, murmuring, bickering mode rather than turning to Thee. And that's exactly what these men did. Lord, I pray that you'd encourage us by their testimony tonight, for I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Did any of you get a notice today by email that you were going to die tomorrow? Because you could not remember what President Trump dreamed last night and give the interpretation of it?
Not me.
Now, we chuckle at that. We laugh at that, and I do too. But this was real. All right? Now, let's let this soak in. This was a rabid king who couldn't remember what he dreamed. But it bothered him to the point that he goes to his wise men and he tells them, I need you to conjure up what I dreamed last night and I want you to tell me the meaning of it. How many of you think that's impossible? Absolutely. That's not possible. But these men had presented themselves in such a way to the king that they were very gifted. But in his mind, the king's mind, and it's not rational, by the way. It's not rational at all. In his mind, these men ought to be able to help me remember what I dreamed last night. How many of you had a dream last night? do you remember what you dreamed? All right? I'm not going to ask you to tell us, because usually I'm dying in the dream. Right, Roger? I actually lived. We used to, as kids, you'd have these crazy dreams. I had a recurring dream for years. Anybody ever have a recurring dream? And it was deja vu. You knew how what was going to happen in the next part of the dream, right? And usually it was me falling off of this building. And I always woke up. Now, you know what they say, that if you don't wake up, then it's real, all right? That's just nonsense. But can you imagine someone coming up to you and said, I dreamed a dream last night. I need you to tell me what I dreamed. And then I want you to tell me what it meant. This really happened. And it was the king of Babylon who made this request. Word trickles down to the four Hebrew children. Daniel, Mishael, Azariah, and what was the last one? I missed it. Verse 17. Hananiah. By the way, isn't it amazing that we always memorize the Babylonian names for these fellows? Say them with me. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We always remember those names. And by the way, those are pagan names. And they just roll right off our tongue. But then trying to remember the Hebrew names that have meaning toward our God, we can't remember them. Because for some reason, it just didn't catch with us. But they're named here with their Hebrew names. I would encourage us all, let's memorize them. That's a good thing to do, because it brings honor and glory to whom? Their names bring glory to God. Their other names bring glory to pagan idols. So, Daniel hears about this, and he says, Why? There's got to be something going on with the king for him to make such a rash statement and make such a decree. Now notice what he says here. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation. By the way, there's no answer given by the king to Daniel. It's not recorded here. Did he say, oh sure, Daniel, I'll give you more time? It doesn't sound like that. Because Daniel then went to his house and made the thing known to the three men that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven. You know, that word is such an important word. That word is used over 364 times just in the Old Testament. That does not include the word merciful. That's just the word mercy. And then we find it another 50 plus times in the New Testament. What is mercy? That is God holding back something. Holding back something that would destroy us. Right? It may be something we deserve, or it may be something we don't deserve. I've oftentimes said that mercy is God withholding what you deserve. But in reality, mercy is asking for something, for God to hold back something that you don't deserve. Just God intervening and stopping it. And so they got down on their knees and they prayed. They prayed that God would undertake for them that they should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Have you ever prayed a prayer like that? I don't know that I've ever prayed a prayer like that, that I wouldn't die with others who were under the judgment of a leader. You think about the import of what's being shared here with us. Why did God include this in the writ of Scripture? The Old Testament, we're told, was written for our admonition and for our learning, we're told by the Apostle Paul. He wrote that to the Corinthian believers. He said it was written for our admonition. What is admonition? It is a lower level of rebuke. It is basically chiding us to move in the right direction, to admonish. You need to go in the right direction here. But then there's another aspect to the Old Testament, and that's for our learning, instruction. What can we learn from this? What did they do first? They went to the king. Daniel went to the king and said, "Give us more time." Is that a wise thing to ask for? Absolutely. There's nothing wrong with asking for more time. But we have no indication in the Scripture that he got that. The decree was not lifted at that moment. It was still in effect. They were going to die. But the four of them came together and they prayed to God that they would not die with the other men and that God would do something. Notice verse 19. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his, and he changeth," now get this, what he's saying here, "and he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding." He continues, "He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me now what we desired of thee. For thou hast now made known unto us," what? The king's matter. Everything involved with the king, an understanding of something that was going on in the king's life, an understanding of what he dreamed and what the dream meant. Now we get an understanding of something even greater. Who gave the king the dream? God did. So now we see another purpose here that perhaps is hidden from us because we don't see it written out there, but obviously, as we're going to see in the understanding of the dream, God has a message for whom? Nebuchadnezzar. This all plays out in this passage. Therefore Daniel, verse 24, went in unto Arioch, whom the king had ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus unto him, "Destroy not the wise men of Babylon." What a gracious man Daniel was. The first thing that he says, he doesn't say, "I know the king's dream." Does he say that? No, he says, "Stay your hand against the wise men. Don't kill them." He was thinking about them. These pagan men who were not believers in his God, but he asked this man, "Stay your hand against them." What lessons are found here? But he's not done. "And I will show unto the king the interpretation." Then Arioch brought in Daniel before the king in haste and said thus unto him, "I have found a man of the captives of Judah that will make known unto the king the interpretation." Wow. Among the captives, we've got somebody that says they know your dream. And he's going to tell it. "And the king answered and said unto Daniel, whose name was Belshazzar, art thou able to make known unto me the dream whereof I have seen and the interpretation thereof?" Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, "The secret which the king hath demanded cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king. But there is a God in heaven." Do I hear an amen? Amen. What does Daniel do? He immediately takes him to his God. There is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days, thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. As for thee, O king, thy thoughts came into thy mind upon thy bed, which should come to pass hereafter. And he that revealeth secrets maketh known to thee what shall come to pass. But as for me, this secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any other living. You know, here he is a captive. He could have advanced himself before the king. Isn't that what most of us would do in a situation like that? Oh, we've witnessed this kind of behavior. I know something and try to advance myself in the presence of other people. But not Daniel. Not Daniel. He's humble. I don't know any of this, save that the God of heaven showed it unto me. I don't know any more than the other wise men. What a humble man of God he was. Notice, please, he continues, but for their sakes that shall make known the interpretation to the king, and that thou mightest know the thoughts of thy heart, thou, O king, sawest and behold a great image. And he goes into great detail. What the king saw gave the interpretation of it. But I want you to see what Daniel does before he ever meets with the king. Did you see it? What did he do? How did he respond when the knowledge? He didn't go to the men and said, hey, we've just saved our bacon. I know what he dreamed and I know what it meant. And everybody huddled around Daniel. Oh man, good job, Daniel. High five, pat on the back. That's not what happened. He immediately went into the presence of the God that revealed the information. And he praised his holy and matchless name. And I want you to know how this all began. It was a cry for mercy. And then the supply of mercy. And the response to that mercy was nothing more than humility. Folks, this is instructive. This is an admonition, and it is for our learning. It is so easy to take credit for things. So easy to take credit for things. Yeah, I was able to do this, and I was able to do that, and blah, 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 blah. But you know what? God Almighty is the one that put your brain in your head. God Almighty is the one that sustained you today by His mercy and by His grace. Up here on the hill, we hear nothing but sirens all day long. You walk out any given hour of the day, and it's pew, wee, 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 and there'll be a fire truck going down the road because there's an accident down here at the corner. Or you'll hear it going up Northrop Road, or you'll hear it going up Barry. We're surrounded by nothing but EMS and police traffic all the time. And in many cases, somebody is at the hospital, and a family's getting word, we had a bad accident, you need to come. God is merciful. He stays the hand of awful things that could happen to us every day. I know that you're like me. I cry out for God's mercy every day. I ask Him. We need God's mercy every minute, every waking hour of the day, and every sleeping hour at night. We need Him to hover over us. And sometimes when things come through, He's got a purpose. He didn't stay the king from making the threat, did He? Did God do that? No, he allowed his servants to hear about it, and their names were on the list, and they were going to die. Notice the response of the man that Daniel went to and told him, the one that had been given the order to kill the Magi, the wise men. The Bible says he made haste to go into the king's presence to let him know that one of the captives knows what your dream is and knows the interpretation of it. This was serious. This wasn't a plaything. This was real. And Daniel and the three men, Hebrew children, felt the ire of the king for something that was totally unjust. But they were going to die nonetheless. Now, God in His mercy revealed everything to him. And God had a purpose for all of this. I don't know that Daniel fully understood all of God's purposes. Why they may have experienced the angst and the pressure of being told, you come up with my dream or you die. I don't think any of us have ever experienced that kind of pressure. We've experienced pressures of different kinds. Travis right now is going through the horrible pressures of dealing now with something that may or may not take away his cancer. There's a lot of unknowns and uncertainties. We're praying that God undertakes, that God will be merciful to Travis. That's been one of my prayers. I'm sure you've been praying the same thing. Mercy. Yes, we want his grace in behalf, but there's that element of that mercy of God just holding back, just pushing back on that which could destroy the body. Folks, I was overwhelmed this morning as I was reading this passage of Scripture. It just hit me in such a way. You know, we're so worried about things that are unimportant. We're worried about our basketball team. We're worried about all of these things that are happening in our government, and there's some serious things that are happening. But we fret and we worry if we're going to be able to pay this bill. Are we going to be able to find what we're looking for a vehicle? Or are we going to be able to afford a new air conditioner? Or can we afford a new refrigerator or a stove? Or go down the list of all these things that we worry about in life. And I think many times we fail to stop. What did Daniel and these men do? All of them named after God. They went to God. It seems so obvious, and yet so many times it's not. It's worry, fret, anxiety. Are we going to make it? Are we going to survive? And in reality, none of them even rise to what we're dealing with here. Do I hear an amen? Yeah. Sometimes it doesn't even rise to that level. And yet we're overwhelmed. We're just overwhelmed by that. Let's look at God as a Father and go to Him and talk to Him and say, Father, we've got an unreasonable king here that's asked us something that we cannot answer. Would you, in your mercies, he used it in the plural, by the way. Hesed in the Hebrew is plural. Your many mercies, would you extend them to us that we might know the information so these lives will be spared, including our own? And when he got the answer, he went straight to him and said, tell the king, don't kill the wise men. The Lord has revealed, and he honored his God before the king. I pray tonight that we take away some things from this. There are unreasonable people in the world. They're everywhere. How do we deal with unreasonable people? You know, it's whenever you have requests that come in and you just like scratch your head and say, what are they thinking? They don't understand. They don't get it. And they ask unreasonable things. It's so easy to immediately switch into criticism mode, tear them down, say awful things about them. I'm guilty. But what should I do? I should go to my God, and I should talk to Him. Lord, I don't know how to deal with this unreasonable person. I don't see a good outcome here, but Lord, You're able to do things that I cannot do and turn the matter over to Him. That's all that Daniel and the three Hebrew children did. They took the matter before God and they left it with Him. This is an unreasonable king. It's an unreasonable request. But God, You can do things that we cannot do. And what did God do? He did the things that Daniel and the three Hebrew children could not do. He showed them what was what. There's another element to this as well. The answer came when Daniel was asleep. When he was asleep. I just marvel at how God works sometimes. How many of you have had an epiphany in the middle of the night? How many of you got up and went and got a piece of paper and wrote it down and said, this is it. This was what I'm looking for here. And then was able to go solve an issue because God revealed it while you were sleeping. This has happened so many times with God's saints in the Bible. How many times have you heard in the nighttime that an answer came? When the shepherds were in their fields at night, God revealed that His son was being born in Bethlehem. Go and praise His name in the middle of the night. We don't think many times of how God chooses to answer requests. It's at the moment when you're the most vulnerable, when you're asleep. I don't know how many times in our marriage I've been punched in the middle of the night. Did you hear that? Well, my hearing is horrible. I don't hear much of anything. My wife can hear a bug crawling on the carpet in the living room with the door shut. She can hear it. She has hearing that's remarkable. Are you going to get up? Yeah, I guess I'll get up. Okay. And I get up and I'll stumble around and I go like, I am the most vulnerable. They could come through the door, kill me, and take the whole family while I'm stumbling around trying to find my slippers. All right? We're most vulnerable at night when we're sleeping, right? We're waking up at this particular moment. Do we think clearly in the middle of the night? It was in the middle of the night when he was sleeping in a night vision that God shared everything with him. And it was such powerful revelations that Daniel remembered every detail of it to give to the king. Sometimes God will show himself the most powerful when we're at our weakest. Isn't that what God told Paul? My grace is sufficient unto you. For my strength is made perfect in your strength, intelligence, goodness, wonderfulness. No, it's made when we're at our weakest. That's when he reveals his grace. I would encourage you to read the book of Daniel. Over and over again throughout the narrative of Daniel, which covers a period of some 80 years of Daniel interacting with his God and God pouring out his mercy to Daniel. In just a few chapters, we're going to find him down in the lion's den. How many of you think that's a positive moment in a person's life? I've never been in a lion's den, never have wanted to. It's bad enough to go to a zoo when there's a fence between the two of you. You know, and they go, rawr, and scare you half to death. But can you imagine being thrown in with the thing? But it was God that was with him the entire time. How many of you believe we still have the same God that Daniel had? Yeah. How many of us treat our God like Daniel did? I don't know. We can talk big, say how we would do in such a circumstance. Yes, that would be me. No, I think many times it would not be us. But it's written for our admonition and for our learning. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for this simple account that's recorded in Daniel chapter 2 of these four men. Really, at this particular time, they're a little more than young men, maybe older teenagers, early 20s, but young men that knew something that seems to escape so many today, that whenever everything goes south, we go to the Lord. We go to God, and we seek His mercy. You're such a merciful God. You hold back things that we may deserve, and then you hold back things that we don't deserve. That's the wonder of mercy. And Lord, we look to you. We live in troubling times, and we see all the things that are happening around the world, and the discord, and the hatred, and the horrible things happening to Christians around the world, from Somalia to Nigeria, where Christians are being herded up and killed simply because they're Christians. And we realize that these horrible things happen in places where they have little strength, have no way to combat it. The only thing that we can think of is that if they're believers in Christ, they're ushered into your presence immediately and delivered from this world of wickedness and sin. Lord, before we gripe and complain, may we be reminded of the things that your saints have gone through and are going through around the world. And may we be humble before thee and realize that we serve a great and good and gracious God and He's merciful beyond measure. But may we go to you first and seek thy help, rather than going through a long list of things, and then finally, as a last resort, we run to you and then complain about the circumstance that we're in. Lord, would you deliver us from that kind of shallowness? And may you strengthen our faith, for I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.